Wow, such a privilege to be with you all today. And a joy to open God's Word together. I feel like the flow has been just really fits with what I have to share today. Yeah, it's good. It's good to be with you all. Good to see your faces. And we're really excited to come this morning and just feel the spirit of love and unity and just happy to be together. It's great. So the title of my message is The Torn Veil, an Open Invitation to Fellowship. The Torn Veil, an Open Invitation to Fellowship. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, our opening passage here. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I'll stop there. The writer of Hebrews here is talking about entering into the holiest. And he's using the analogy, referring back to the Old Testament type of the tabernacle, of the temple. And if you've looked at a diagram or have read about the tabernacle, the temple in the Old Testament, you know that there was the first entry into the temple or tabernacle, you had the holy place. And that was where the table of showbread was, where the candlestick with the seven lamps was, and also the altar of incense. And then you had the veil, which was a thick partitioning curtain that separated the holy place from the holiest, from the Holy of Holies. And inside the Holy of Holies, you had the Ark of the Covenant, which was covered by the mercy seat. You had the cherubim, the figures of the cherubim standing over it and guarding where God would come and sit. And that was where he would come in his glory, the Shekinah glory, and fill that holiest of holies. And we'll read later on. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 26, and we'll see where God directed them to make this veil, this partition. Exodus chapter 26, verse 31. Starting in verse 31. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twined linen of cunning work, with cherubims shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood, overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the taches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. All right, so there God directs Moses on to make this veil. And it was a beautiful piece of artwork that was embroidered with cherubims on it. And blue and scarlet and purple. I just imagine it would be a beautiful piece of art there. But its purpose was to divide the holy place from the holiest of holies, where God actually resided. And beyond that curtain, only one man could go, and that was the high priest. And he could only go once a year, according to in Hebrews here. We'll read about that later. All right, so here in, let's turn back to Hebrews. And we'll go to chapter 9, starting in verse 1. And we're going to read quite a bit here. Chapter 9, verse 1. And he goes into talking about the tabernacle and the types that were there. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary, or a physical sanctuary. That word worldly doesn't mean, worldly like we use it, but it means the physical, tangible sanctuary. For there is a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Okay, so that means the front part of the tabernacle, the holy place, they were in there every day, doing their service. But into the second, the holiest of holies, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. Was not yet made manifest. So he's saying the Holy Spirit, in using that type, in giving the type of the having the veil there in the whole, separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies, was to show that the way hadn't been opened up to everybody coming in there. But he was showing that he does, that is his plan, that he's going to make a way. The Holy Ghost this signifying, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. This is actually the real Reformation. if you've studied church history, you know there's a period called the Reformation that began with Martin Luther or around his time, and he was kind of one of the forerunners. And you know, in rebelling against the state church, the Catholic Church, and that's what's called the Reformation. But there's actually a real Reformation of when the old covenant was done away with, and Jesus brought in the new covenant, the new way. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Jesus was the high priest, our high priest, who never dies. We see that in another earlier in Hebrews, that God had sworn to him that he would be a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And in that order will never have an end. And that's why Jesus can be our high priest forever, because he will never die again. But he entered into the holy place, the holiest of holies, by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. There's so much here, I can't go into everything, but I just want us to focus on the way Jesus made for us. Okay, so he entered in himself with his own blood and purchased eternal redemption for us. All right, verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law. Oh, sorry, I skipped verse 18. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance, again, made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know, it would have been awesome. It would have been such a relief. It would have been glorious if all Jesus had done was to make his sacrifice, take his blood into the holiest of holies once and for all, and there grant us remission and forgiveness forever, so that we wouldn't have to be bringing these sacrifices again, right? Making peace between man and God. That would have been awesome and glorious. But Jesus didn't stop there. He didn't leave the veil standing there, intact, where there was only, you know, only the privileged few could enter into his presence. In Matthew 27, we see something amazing, something incredible happening as Jesus died on the cross. At the moment that his spirit was ripped from his body, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom and made, and the way was just made wide open into the very holiest place. Just an awesome picture of what God did there on the cross. It says in Matthew 27, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? Which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. God, from the foundation of the world, from his, when he created man in his own image, this was the plan of God, to have unobstructed intimate fellowship with man. The torn veil, an open invitation to fellowship. That's what the torn veil is all about. You know, Jesus, he didn't just want to cleanse us so that we wouldn't face separation from God eternally. But he wanted to make a way for us to come back into the very holy of holies, into the glorious presence of Almighty God, our Creator, the one who created us in his image to have fellowship with him. And that is so precious. That he would want to redeem us. We know how far we've fallen short of his glory. How wretched we've become. And yet he's made a way. Not for the privileged few, but to anyone who sees their need of God. Anyone who sees their wretchedness. You know, I think a lot of times we have this idea that, you know, we have to, you know, we have to shape up before we can come into his presence. When it's his very presence that is what sanctifies us. It's his blood. It's the torn veil that we pass between when we enter into Christ, and that's where he applies his blood. That's where the blood is. It's not outside. It's right into his sanctuary. And the invitation is open to anyone. No matter what you've done, no matter how far you feel, no matter how distant God seems to you, God has taken away every obstacle. And it's only we who don't go in. His invitation is open to anyone. That is so precious. Wow, what a God we have. You know, he says that in verse 20 there, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And, you know, the veil was not only to keep, the veil was there to actually, you know, when I think about when Moses was in the presence of God on the mountain, he comes down and he's shining with the glory of God. And the people are you know, they're terrified, they're uncomfortable with him, and so he has to put a veil over his face just so he could be among them. And you know, that's a picture of Jesus coming in the likeness of sinful flesh and dwelling among us. And offering himself up, you know, that beautiful life, that beautiful piece of art there, the veil was torn to pieces. And that's what happened to Jesus for our sake, so that he could make a way open. And the only way we can get in there. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door. So, for all of you who long for that, who long to know freedom, who long to know God's love, who long to know his acceptance, his presence, his freedom from sin, freedom from guilt, the way has been made for you. God has. You know, Jesus was all about breaking down walls. Think about the sinful woman that came to him while he was in the Pharisee's house there, dining with the Pharisee. And here comes this sinful woman. And just by looking at her, they could all tell who she was. And here she comes and starts kissing his feet. And Jesus saw her heart. He looked right past he knew all about her. He knew everything. You know, he told the woman at the well everything she had ever done. She knew that he knew her through and through. You know, we've heard so much about social distancing, right? Well, you know what? There's no social distancing with God. He's not holding you at arm's length until you get your act together. He is welcoming you. He is calling you. All you need to do is repent. Change your mind about the way you're going. Change your mind about God. Change your mind about sin, that it's not something to be enjoyed, that there's so much that God has for you. There's nothing to be compared with it. There's nothing to be compared with the freedom from guilt and shame. And knowing that your heart is right with God, and there's an open heaven over your life, and you don't fear death anymore. All we need to do is come in brokenness, humility, say, God, I've been wrong. I need you. I need your blood, Lord Jesus. Please wash me and cleanse me and make me yours. Wow. Jesus was all about breaking down walls, inviting sinners close enough to be changed by his beauty. We want to be like him, don't we? It's my message is kind of two parts. And, you know, what a beautiful thing when we've come to the cross, when we've come into God's presence, into the holiest of holies, through his blood, and there's nothing between us and the Lord. But I fear, you know, far too often there's, a veil after we enter in. You know, we close the door behind us, right? Don't want to get too close to y'all. You know, y'all are, you know, I've just been cleansed. I've been washing the blood, and I don't want you guys to get me dirty anymore. Right? Can't get too close to the world. And, you know, we want to shut the curtain behind us. God wants to shine his glory through us. Jesus left us here on this earth to be his representation, his ambassadors to a lost and dying world, a hurting world, a broken world, where people are desperate for answers. Where that unfilled void is crying out. But they don't know how to get filled. They don't know where the living bread is. They don't know where the living water is. You know, if you just look at Jesus' life, look at how he noticed the suffering, like we heard in children's lesson. He noticed the suffering. How did he notice? Because he was right there in the midst of them. He ate with the tax collectors and the harlots. Somehow, he didn't scare them. I think it was just his heart of compassion that they knew he cared about them as people, as individuals. That it would make them brave a Pharisee's house to come and grab Jesus' feet. You know, how is it with us? Do we have a veil? Have we built a veil between us and our sinful neighbors? Have we, it can be a cultural, thing, but I believe that God wants us to step over those boundaries and to open our homes and to get close enough to let them see Jesus in us. You know, it's one thing, and it's a good thing, to, go witnessing in the cities, New York City. That can be a powerful witness and another seed planted in somebody's life. But if you think of your own testimony, if you think of, what really had an influence on you, isn't it seeing other people getting close to see their real lives, how they are in their homes, your parents, how they've lovingly shepherded your heart, how they've taught you line upon line, and not only with words but lived an example before you? That yes, there is something to this. Or maybe some of you had a friend. In my life, it was Philip Hodson that really made a difference in my life. And that we were back in Texas. We knew him then. I got to work a summer with him on different projects. And I, just working day in and day out with him, just seeing his wholehearted love for the Lord Jesus. And it just came out of him, just overflowing, just coming and, "Noel, look what I saw in the Word this morning." And he never, try to corner me or anything. And he knew, I was just professing to be a Christian. He knew there was, I wasn't being real. But just seeing his life, I was like, he has something I don't have, and I want it. And I think that through that, the Lord was able to show me and just kind of peel away all that hypocrisy that I'd been living in. And the Lord used other things too. But what my point is that I believe the most powerful witness is when people get close enough to see the difference that Jesus has made in our lives. You know, we've had a lot of things shaken up, and I think in a lot of good ways. And I hope that we can learn what is what life is really about, and what do we value. And you know, not being able to fellowship with our, you know, family and friends and church, what has it done for y'all? Doesn't it just makes you realize, you know, this is really about relationship, isn't it? And as you know, yeah, I just thank the Lord, you know, hitting that, he's hitting our reset button, you know. How are you going to live your life? How are you going to spend your time? You know, is it really to seek and to save the lost? Is it really to build each other up as believers? And one thing that we've been blessed by, I'll recommend this book, Sarah's sister actually sent it to us, and it's been really good. We're not done with it, just started it actually, but it's called The Gospel Comes with a House Key, and it's about using our homes as a place of ministry, as a place of outreach, and just, you know, taking the veil, you know, inviting people inside our veil, if you will, and getting close enough, letting them get close enough to see the difference that Jesus makes. Getting to know their sorrows and their joys, and you know, just by serving and by, you know, welcoming them into your home. And that's something we really want to do as my family, and living there in Ephrata has really opened a lot of opportunities. Y'all should really move to town. There's a lot of hurting people, and a lot of seeking people, a lot of open people, that opportunities just fall into your lap. And, you know, yeah, it's really easy living there on Main Street to just talk to a neighbor when you see them, you know, and get to know them and get to know their struggles and to be able to pray for them. And to show them, you know, take them meals and you know, just help them with their projects. And yeah, I just want to put a plug in. You know, I think we're too countrified. You know, we don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to know, you know, have all our you know, theology to hand somebody in a package. We just need to be with them like Jesus was. And God will give you opportunities. He'll you know, if we want that, if we're seeking it, if we ask him, that's his heart. He wants us to extend the invitation, the open invitation to fellowship with the living God. So yeah, those are some of the things we've been thinking about, and just so thankful for God, his the way he made his grace, his invitation, and that we can come just as we are, and that he changes us. and that he also wants us to invite, to get close enough that people see Jesus in us. And, you know, we can preach, and, you know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't, you know, but, you know, the we live in a the postmodern age where people are not going to understand, you know, religious lingo anymore. They're not going to, they're hostile to the gospel. Or what they think is the gospel. They're hostile to religion and churchianity. What they really need to see is somebody getting down like Jesus, touching them and caring for them where it really hurts, praying for them and being there for them. And then when the opportunity comes, to lead them to repentance and trust in Jesus. So, are we ready to, you know, take down the barriers, to reach through them, reach outside of our own little circles? Yeah, I know you are, and I just want to give you a encouragement to press on, and yeah, to just ask the Lord, how can you reach out to your community? And what are the ways, you know, we can, yeah, just show love to the hurting world around us. So God bless you all. So good to be with you all again. And look forward to what God's going to do in our fellowship here. Amen.
Thank you, Noel, for sharing that. The veil is rent. The veil is done away with. We have an opportunity to get to see the Holy of Holies. So interesting to think that, you know, Christ is through that veil and he's sitting there with the Holy of Holies, and now that gives us access directly into there. And just the message that comes through that, like you shared, the message is, come. I want to relate with you. I want to have a relationship with you. Come. And we just finished reading Revelations with our family, and there it says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. What a blessing. I also thank you for the encouragement to show the redemption story. You know, if people don't see your life and what God is doing in it, how will they see the power of the gospel? How will they see what redemption does in our lives? I was challenged a number of years back, you know, it's okay to let your children see your own need of Jesus, and it helps them to see the redemption. So thank you for that word. Is there anything that somebody would like to share, something that spoke to you that would be a blessing to share among us here this morning? Marcus, Mike.
I Yeah, I was tremendously blessed with the message, with all everything that was shared today. I was really encouraged to be here. Noel was speaking. I was thinking the flesh is, the veil is the flesh that was cutting us off, you know, that dark thing that was cutting us off. And I think the secret of godliness is to know and understand that Christ came in the flesh, but by his spirit, he kept himself pure. And I think that's important for us to know that we have this same spirit and we have the power now and the access. See, Jesus made a way. He proved right. that he could come in the flesh and live by the spirit and keep himself pure. Mm-hmm. And he's saying this same way is now open for you to do. There's no longer an excuse of saying, oh, I can't. I can't overcome the flesh. Right. I believe we can overcome the flesh and live in victory over those things. Mm-hmm. And that's the mystery of godliness that I think he's trying to point out there is that very thing, the mystery of walking in the Lord. And this one quote here is really special. As he started talking about reaching out to people, true evangelical faith clothes the naked, feeds the hungry, comforts the sorrowful. It shelters the destitute. It aids and consoles the sad. And it does good to those who do it harm. It serves those who harm it. It prays for those who persecute it. It teaches, admonishes, judges us with the word of the Lord. And this quote here, it's so special. I mean, that's really, I had to think about Jesus at the well. What made him go to that well? What prompted him to walk towards the well? What prompted him? What kind of love did he have in his heart for that woman who came? He obviously knew something about her, that she was in turmoil, that she had had seven husbands. How did he speak to her heart to the point where she sensed something totally special and ran into town? Mm-hmm. I don't know if she got enlightened. I don't know if she changed her heart there, but that was Christ. He was able to do it. And he said, that's my food. He was obviously very hungry because they went out for it. But he was so overjoyed when they came back. He said, mm-hmm. I'm full. This is just everything that I came to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was just really blessed with Christ's obedience. I think that's another secret of the gospel is obedience. Like mm-hmm. Noel was sharing, walking in obedience to God's will for our individual lives.
I think I said enough, but I'm just full of joy here this morning with all the different parts of the service. You know, yeah, we all feel the same way. It's so good to be back together like this. But Earl, your inspirational leading out and singing this morning was just beautiful. I could have skipped opening part and just had singing and singing. but then I was very blessed too with the testimonies for membership. Wayne and Joy and Brad, Natalie, you said a lot in your testimonies. You shared your stories with us. But, you know, sharing that with us gives us, at least for me, a deeper appreciation for who you are today, for where you are today. And because just knowing those things, even just those pieces you shared of your story, really helps me to just welcome you with open arms. I mean, really. And I don't think you even need a week or 2 week trying period. You're already received in my mind. But thank God for your beautiful testimonies and how God's led you. Brad, I like how you put that plug in for, you know, the young people, what you used to do. Was that you? Someone mentioned young people sharing testimonies. No, that was someone else. Sorry. Someone else said they... charity. Oh, that was Wayne. Wayne said, yeah, how the youth used to share testimonies and Daniel Esch led them in that. And that is so beautiful. And I would love to see us more often just have a testimony time at church, sharing what God has been doing in our heart that week that, you know, what, and where our young people and our children get used to that, hearing our current testimonies of what we're seeing God doing in our homes, in our hearts, in our business, in our, you know, whatever it is. I think we are back in the day, that was part of the revival that Charity first experienced, you know, was, and that was part of it, you know, sharing what God has been doing. And I just see that here at Joy, it would be really healthy for us to do that more. If we can somehow come together as a church and do that more often, I think we would be so blessed. And hearing stories like the testimonies that were given this morning would come out more often, I think. And it's just, we'd get to know each other better. And it's all part of relating better with each other. Now that we're back together like this, we feel that. We miss these relationships. So enough said, but I could say a lot more. Thank God for his goodness. He is just on the throne. Thank you, Noel, for taking us into that Holy of Holies where we meet Jesus face to face in his holiness. Thank you for that. I was very inspired by that. I just want to say one more thing about my dad. He is almost ready to come home out of the hospital. Just yesterday they said maybe 3 more days or so. Very weak in his legs, needs a walker. His spirit is there, his spunk is back, which we didn't know at one point if he's going to make it, you know. He is a walking miracle, almost walking. But he has very weak legs, his lungs are fine. He hardly taking any oxygen at all anymore. They just assist as they need to at point at times. But, so we're planning for him to come home on home health therapy, like home health care, where they set up at the house. And we'll have one of my siblings there to help mom at all times. And so it'll be a few weeks of assisting dad pretty much in whatever he needs to do at this point. So, but they can let him go. That means he's healthy. He just needs to work on therapy to get strong. So, but thank you. Yes, amen. Thank you all for your prayers. We really felt that support here through this difficult time that we went through. Thank you.
Good. Is there anything else that needs to be shared? Brother Mose?
Would just like to say that I thoroughly enjoyed this service once again this morning, and thank you, Earl, for making it possible. And I enjoyed every part of the service, and but I this morning before I came, I listened to a man tell his story, and again, an appreciation for what Mike just said about sharing stories. But this man had an experience that he went to heaven. He was had a near-death experience, and he went to heaven. And I've listened to many of those stories, and but this one was kind of special in that it showed me why so many of them are different. They're not, they're just hardly any of them that are the same. People say that they went to heaven and experienced this and that and everything else. Well, it's God is so different, you know. God is great and God is wonderful. And so for one man to experience God in his own way, then another man comes along and experiences God in his way. And it's so beautiful. I just love it. And so I would just like to recommend it for everybody that you get to know God in your own self, in your own way. And, you know, I used to think that, well, everybody has to be in a certain form, but that's not the case. We have to be conformed to God, yes, but we have to meet God in our own body, in our own soul, I should say, I guess, and in our own way. So God bless you all. May we come together again in a beautiful way like this.
Yeah, well, praise the Lord. It's him that's working these things out, so very good. All right.